Welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another exciting, phenomenal segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, it is a wonderful, wonderful Thursday, fantastic Thursday right here with Coach Lalisa, where we have a very, very amazing guest who is going to be with us in just a few minutes. But before he does get to the show, I'm going to tell you a little bit about this amazing person. Before I do that, I just want to welcome those in the chat room, those who are listening via the various RSS feeds, those who are listening via other websites, your iPhones, your cell phones, those who will actually call into the switchboard. This number to call into the show at any time when the show is on air is 347-945-7991. If you want to call in, if you have a comment, you have a question, please feel free to do so. If we have time, we will take your calls and get you on the air. Also, happy birthday to my good friend and film director, Joshua Coates. Happy birthday today. Today is your birthday. Also want to say good morning and happy birthday to Kim Thompson, my good friend and my best friend, Newborn Baptist Church, Mr. Johnny Caldwell. Well, good morning, good morning, and happy birthday. And happy birthday to all of you. If it's your birthday, we want to be the first to wish you today a happy, happy birthday. Now, as I was saying, this guest that we have coming to the show, I mean, when I look over his bio, I'm saying to myself, what has he not done? I probably would come out better telling you the things that he has not yet accomplished in life. But I'm going to read for you the things that he has done, and I do believe that he's on the line. So I'm going to ask him just to stand by for just a few more seconds, and I will absolutely bring him on the air, but we definitely want to do this right, and I want to read every single inch of his bio. Is that you? Is my guest on the line this morning?
Fine, and it's a long bio, so if you want to read it fast, that'll be fine.
I'm going to read it fast. Don't worry. If anybody knows me, they know I'm a fast reader. My mother could write a fast poem, and I can read a I can read that. So I'm not going to read word for word, but let me tell you, as I was reading it, every word is something to hang on. Here's the deal. My guest, and again, we also celebrate and thank Pat for finding you and bringing you on, but my guest was born in Columbus, Ohio. See, I have to stop right there because I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio.
That's right.
So, yeah, anyone born that close to Cincinnati, Ohio, believe me, you, that is amazing. So, anyway, he was born in Columbus, Ohio. He is one of four brothers, and he also has a twin. He is a divorced father with three beautiful African princesses, and I love the way he refers to his daughters, all of whom are seriously academic. He has resided in South Carolina for 26 years, and he has a personal obsessions. His personal obsessions include vegan cooking, extensive library, everything technical, searching for the world's finest Ethiopian restaurants, travel, health research, global trade and development, as well as associating with people who are all about positive action. In the past, he has worked. He's the founder and CEO of Black Star Media Group. They are a multimedia company specializing in web design, streaming media, audio and video production, as well as a spectrum of media production and graphic design services. He's also the founder of the LIB Radio.com, an internet radio station. He also speaks fluent French and Spanish, as well as a smattering of Japanese and Amharic. Okay, Ethiopian. There you go, Ethiopia. Wonderful. In 1990 to 2007, he also was author, lecturer. He's a full-time professional writer and author of 18 books. Wow. And during that period, he traveled throughout the U.S., Canada, lecturing from the Conscious Roster Report. He has appeared on major television shows as well as talk radio throughout the U.S. and Canada in 1979 through 1976. He was a record producer and recording artist. Wow, you must be 1,000 years old. You have done so much. You've done more in half your lifetime than most people have done in three lifetimes. He's also produced over 25 record albums for various artists. He is skilled on a number of musical instruments and production tools. I'm telling you, it gets better. Don't go away. At the peak of his recording career, he was widely received in Jamaica, France, and Spain. As a musician, he traveled the 46 United States. Wow. In 74 to 78, he was a cryogenics technician working in the field of reproductive technology. He was cryogenics technician in an artificial reproduction sperm freezing laboratory. I still publish and lecture on reproductive health issues, including the recent work, Sex and Cancer. Oh, I need to hear all about that. Principal areas of research for him, he says his father was the noted industrial chemist, George Howard. Congratulations. As such, he is well-versed and extensively published in such areas as culture, history, ethnicity and society, reproductive biology, health and nutrition, science and technology, as well as the practical application of information technologies. Within the African-American community, he became a widely referenced source to counter the misinformation surrounding HIV and AIDS, sexually transmitted diseases, and reproductive issues. His professional affiliations include being a member of the D.C.-based think tank Information Project for Africa for over a decade. On the West Coast, he was closely affiliated with the African Culture and Research Center of Long Beach for over a dozen years. He is the founder of the Seventh Millennium Academy of Consciousness. It's a youth Advocacy Organization. His latest endeavor is founding of the African Centered Internet Radio Station, LIBradio.com, along with the complimentary LIBTV.web television. Additionally, he is currently working on a number of video productions and independent documentaries, and I hope one of those will be my documentary. Wow, Mr. Keaty, everyone, I ask you to help me welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show such an awesome, phenomenal person that has done so many things. We are so delighted to have you with us today, Keaty, to share on the subject of nutrition and health. And now, looking at your bio, you can almost share on anything you like. But good morning. Welcome to the show.
What a pleasure it is to be with you this morning. I'm here on the West Coast in Southern California, where I've been living now for close to 30 years. It's early in the morning, so it's a special moment, and I'm going to savor this moment for all it's worth. What a pleasure it is to be with you. How is my beloved queen sister today?
I am phenomenally great. I'm just so in awe of all that you have done and are doing. Oh, my goodness. Wow. You know, that is really, you know, it's really heartwarming to hear and to talk with someone that is so renowned, that has done so many things, that has traveled around the world, that has had so many experiences. I mean, you've worked with, you know, youth advocacy groups. You've worked with helping to turn around people's misconceptions about a very, very problematic medical condition and health condition, you know, HIV and AIDS. And you just, I mean, big things that you've done, produce music. You're a recording artist. You play several instruments. You've written over 18 books. You speak 4 or 5 different languages. I mean, how in the, boy, people, they ask me, when do I sleep? They need to meet you, Mr. Keaty. How, and I hope I'm saying your name right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay, everyone, if you just tuned in to the Coach Lalisa Show, we have on the line with us in our virtual studio, coming all the way from the West Coast, Southern California, where it is about 4 o'clock in the morning there. So like you say, you got up, you know, on purpose this morning to come on the show and to impart to our listeners the knowledge. I mean, just your bio alone, I'm telling you, is just phenomenal. There's just enough knowledge right there to make anyone who is sitting back doing nothing get up and do something. You know, that is, boy, that's some. You have a radio station, a TV station. You have your daughters that you're raising. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
you're into technology. Wow.
If I were asked to summarize it all, we are living, and we're living to the fullness. We're living in the now moment. We are blessed with so many talents from divine creator, from divine creation. And a part of being blessed with so many talents is to be able to and to be committed to using them for the benefit, for the service of mankind. So I find myself in a wonderful position and do the best I can to encourage and to teach other people to reach deep, deep within inside their spirit and find that seed, plant it in the world, watch it grow, feed it to its fullness, and allow everyone to feed off of it if they possibly can.
Now, you were born in Columbus, Ohio, and then you lived in, I would imagine, you, I guess you were raised there as well, or you were raised another city?
I was actually raised just slightly outside of Columbus, Ohio. I am a country boy at heart. My father and 20 other heads of households, or 28, a total of 21 families, all bought land from a black farmer who had some 70 acres of land, who was retiring, and sold a good chunk of the land to 21 black families who all had about 1 to 3 acres. And so we built a community 3 miles too far outside of Columbus, so we crossed the county line and ended up being educated kind of as a country boy, an education to which I don't complain at all. As we recognize many times, country people have sets of skills absolutely critically necessary to preserve from generation to generation. On the block where I grew up, I saw the men and the women of our little tiny village with every set of life skill that you could imagine, and we were very self-sufficient people. Early on, learned to grow food. We had our first jobs. I think I was pretty much self-employed by the age of about 9 years old. And through watching my father, who was not only a brilliant scientist himself, but he was also a hard-working, committed, highly moral man who was himself always engaged in some sort of service to community, for which the community was very appreciative of him. And so, you know, in an era where we can see and witness the consequences of so many young males and young females growing up without the benefit of a strong, moral, upright father in the household, and I had the opportunity to see the example, the perfect example of a good man. And, of course, growing up without a mother, we were all boys in the household, all males in the household. In fact, my mother's father, who himself was a single parent raising my mother, he moved in with us. And so it was a unique experience. And throughout my life, I've done the best I could to try and seek out how these experiences that I grew up in could be built upon, could be enhanced, be of service of myself, and to expect and demand that the world give me a good place to work. And I've enjoyed it all along, as you can see.
Oh, yes, I can absolutely see that you are truly, truly a powerful force in the earth. And I want to know, how did you discover that you had all these talents that you are using in the medical field, in the technology field, in the engineering field, and the music industry, the entertainment industry, the travel industry, the language industry? How in the world did you discover all this?
You know, we are all so much a part or a consequence of our environment. And as I described this rich environment that I grew up in, it was clean, it was safe. My father being a chemist, it was a good, steady, strong economic position for his family. I only knew my mother for 7 years of my life. She was a singer. In fact, she was a fairly, not necessarily celebrity, but in the area and all of the churches in the area, she was known for her wonderful, pristine gospel voice. I can still hear it resounding in my own mind 45 years after her departure of this planet. And so in our household, we were blessed with the gift of music. We had about every musical instrument you could imagine in the household. And after a friend of the family passed, and the family donated an entire attic full of music to our household, so that was one of the blessings. But I must say that amongst the many blessings of that environment in which I found myself at a very early age was the gift of literacy. My father being the first college graduate in his immediate family and being a chemist at that, had a library in the house. And I can recall discovering this wonderful, wonderful world of my father's college library, college textbook library, in our recreation room. And I was just fascinated with those books. I can recall even studying French from my father's college textbooks, learning to speak French, teaching myself to speak French before I entered school, before I entered the first grade. And so, for many of us, the discovery of our own world, our own greatness, is founded upon this environment, the environment of the home. And one of the greatest things one could ever do, and I did it for my own daughters, and it worked, was I put a library in their bedroom when they were very, very young. For one, I knew that this gift of a high level of literacy would be a ticket to a great and diverse future, but I also knew that unlike the case of my own father's library, where we kind of tore up the books as the years went on, I didn't want my daughters tearing up my books, so I put a library in their own room, and it worked.
Wow. That is amazing. That is, I think that advice right there is going to help so many people. And so, oh, my God, so you taught yourself French before you even ever started school. You fell in love with knowledge and literacy and reading. You know, you've written over 18 books. And, you know, okay, you got to talk about this health thing. And by the way, Pat, this says good morning, first of all. And also she says she's on day two with no soda.
Okay. So, what a wonderful commitment. I look forward to that message. I've gone a year without soda. I don't miss them at all. In fact, I so much enjoy not being burdened with this heavy burden of all of this white sugar poisoning my system. Yeah, to cut out soda, to cut out the sugar that comes along with it, plus the other compounds that are in the soda, such as the carbonic acid, is a great step on that pathway, which leads us to health and longevity and vitality.
And talk about that vitality. I mean, woo, that sounds like an important word we need to know about as it relates to our health. Can you talk about our health? Where are some of the areas that you see that we are really going wrong for those of us who would love to have better health? We would love to take care of this body / temple where everything that we're going to discover about ourselves resides in that. What are some, you know, quick health tips that you could give us that would really put us on the right direction?
Well, I'm going to give you three real quick tips, and then I'm going to put it into context. Tip number one, water is the essential force which, along with the energy from the sun, gives life to this entire planet. This planet is 70% water. Our bodies are 71% water when we're healthy. And so the first tip is that celebrate, to drink water is itself a celebration of life. With the energy from water and the energy of sun, all life on this planet is able to exist once, of course, it has been infused with spirit. So tip number one, drink a glass of water. It's a celebration of life and of the gift of creation itself. Tip number two would be, after water, the greatest nutrition that all of us will know throughout our lives is the breath of life itself, is air. The breath of life is so very important. And so if as we learn to master our own health, one of the things that we learn to master or along the way becomes one of our most powerful tools is the gift of the breath of life. If we're upset, if we're challenged in many ways, one of the first things that we can do to gain mastery over the situation is to just take a moment to become aware of your breath, to breathe deep, calm and smooth, let your lungs fill up with oxygen and imagine the oxygenation of the blood taking place. And that is one of the key steps to beginning healing immediately, literally immediately. You can begin a healing within 10 seconds by just becoming aware of the breath, tip number two. And then tip number three, one of the oldest dictates given to us throughout the world of history and spirituality is let your food be your medicine. Let your medicine be your food. And as my own saying for my brand, Living Superfood, let your food be your medicine, and medicine has never tasted like this before. So every bite that I eat, every meal, every day, all year long for now 30 years, every bite that I eat, I regard it to be a healing experience, and so therefore, I'm very, very serious about what it is I choose to eat.
Wow, that is so good. Let your food be your medicine. Drink lots of water. What did you refer to water? You referred to water as the...
Well, water is the essential force. Outside of the sun, if we think about it, the sun and water are the two key elements from which life on this beautiful pearl, this beautiful planet is drawn. And 70% of the surface of this planet is water. So we have to understand that so as it is above, so it is below. There is always a correspondence in nature. Nature likes these laws. And so the planet, this beautiful pearl, this entity floating through space, planet Earth itself, housing to trillions of different life forms, all of which are dependent on the abundance of water and the abundance of energy from the sun. So that's just how important water really is.
Wow, that is so beautiful. And now, let's just switch gears a little bit. We're still talking about health, though, because I know you said you're in the field that studies. You did this major research about sex and cancer. Can you talk about that for, you know, a couple minutes or so?
Yeah.
And what you found, because, you know, a lot of people are definitely involved in sex, and certainly people have suffered from cancer, and we probably need to know some stuff that we don't know.
Mm-hmm. When I talk about sex and cancer, the two ideas can be joined together in a number of different ways. I'll limit it somewhat, but I did write a book entitled Missing Assets, Cultural, Biological, and Psychological Origins of Infertility, in which many of these ideas came together. But when we talk about sex and cancer, one of the first things that comes together is that they are both the end consequence of the body's systems, of which the endocrine system, the hormone system, is a very, very powerful factor in both sex and cancer. Recognizing that sex is, of course, the reproductive system, biological system, we regard it to be healthy because we are essentially healthy beings. And so my first approach in dealing with sex is that it is a healthy experience regulated by the body's own internal mechanisms. We have a system called the autonomous system of the body, which regulates itself. It's far, far more complex than we can even consciously be aware of. I mean, we would drive ourselves crazy if during every second of our life we thought about regulating our blood and our blood pressure and our blood flow and the oxygen level of our blood cells and how many white blood cells are needed to go down to that ankle of mine which scraped up against the chair earlier today and has a little scrape on it, and so I need to be dealing with that. The autonomous mind monitors every system in the body all day long and even works so hard at night that it sends us into unconsciousness so that it can have extra energy to do all the work that it does. So again, recognizing first of all, sex in the context of the functioning body is a good thing. It is a healthy thing, and it is regulated by a complex set of systems, the most powerful of which is called the endocrine system or the hormone system. Hormones are little tiny communicators manufactured throughout the body to tell the cells and the various body systems how to function, how to act. As these systems all have the proper nutrition and the proper environment to function great, our sexual nature, our reproductive nature, is very, very high. In fact, if you examine the hormone system of a young person in their reproductive prime, and you compare that to an older person who's moving beyond their reproductive prime, the hormone system functions completely different in both cases. One of the things that we find is that we can mimic, replicate, and enhance those hormonal functions that working in our younger age, and we can extend that and make sure that these systems function at their greatest level, it actually not only extends our lifespan and extends our youthful vitality, but in many cases you can re-jumpstart your body's systems and your hormonal system through nutrition and other environmental influences that we actually now have the evidence we can reverse the aging process. Amongst the many things that become as side effects of reversing this aging process is this youthful vitality as well as other symbols of vitality. I've actually seen them since I've been on this living superfood nutritional pattern for about 1 year strictly now. I've actually seen things like just take off reading glasses. I don't even use them anymore. Unless I'm using them as kind of like microscopes doing real tiny fine work, I'll put them on. And what used to be necessary reading glasses now function as really kind of like microscopes. And but we also find that your hair begins to change color back to its original color. It comes in thicker and fuller. And in my case, where I had been experiencing male pattern baldness for a number of years, actually seeing a regrowth of hair that I thought had gone east and west for the entire count, now coming back to the center. Now, if we were to give a parallel, how do we then link that to cancer? Cancer is itself an inconsequence of the malfunction of these vital systems of longevity and vitality within the body. And cancer is itself directly related to malfunction of the hormonal system. In fact, we could go off into that tangent, but cancer itself appears to be very closely linked to excessive amounts of a female hormone or a set of female hormones that are lumped together, pretty much all called estrogen. There are different types of estrogenic hormones out there, but pretty much the female or feminine hormones come together and the classification of estrogen. And we do find is that tumors, cancer tumors, do grow, proliferate in the presence of too much estrogen, what is called exogenous estrogen, meaning estrogen not manufactured by the body, but estrogen encountered in the environment. So if we're looking at some of the most cancer-causing foods that are known out there, we find one thing to be common to these cancer-causing foods is that they often contain a very high presence of female hormone estrogen or exogenous estrogen or estrogen-mimicking chemicals. Many chemicals throughout our environment now, especially a lot of plastics, polyphenols, biphenols, these are known to mimic or block the action of estrogen in the body, leading in many cases to a much increased risk of developing cancer.
Wow, we're going to have to go back and listen to the archives for real and get every drop of that. So it would behoove us to definitely change our diets, it sounds like.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. And what are some of the foods that, I mean, just everyday foods that people don't think about, but that they are very beneficial to improving our health conditions?
The beauty about it is that nature gives us a perfect picture of what we could be doing if we would only do what the great Dr. George Washington Carver said was the key to his genius, to his brilliance in his inventiveness and creativity. He said, "I just listened to nature." He said, "Every plant, every element talked to me." George Washington Carver said it was the voice of God Almighty speaking me to through the agency of these plants. If we would just, as we would just listen, we would understand the nature of our bodies. We would understand that human beings are not, by nature, meat eaters. We don't have the nature of meat eaters. We don't fly. We don't run on four legs, both of which would give us the advantage of pursuing our prey. We don't have long, sharp and very hardened fingernails that are embedded into the tendons of our hands and our feet, which would allow us to leap on our prey if we could catch it, to grasp it so firmly that the prey couldn't get away. We don't have long canine teeth that would allow us to bite through the neck of our prey and rip its jugular vein, clamp down on its throat with our powerful jaws and choke it out, and then use those same canine teeth and claws to rip open its hide and begin to consume its blood, its flesh, and its intestines in the raw state, which is what true meat eaters do. We can look at the biology of humans and the biology of meat eaters and understand that we were not designed by divine creation to be meat eaters. We were designed, our hands were designed to pick fruit, to harvest fruits. We had a brain that was designed for us to be clever and creative in seeking out our food in many ways. So that's one of the first things that I do teach, is that we are by nature fruitarians. We were designed by creation to eat herbs, seeds, nuts, roots, leaves, plants, berries, fruits. Such a cornucopia, such a bounty, a harvest, you know. All humankind comes from the mother continent, Africa. And we do know that humankind evolved and that part of the planet in the equatorial regions near the equator, where there was an abundance of fruits and nuts and seeds and leaves. There was such an abundance there, which is why the people who evolved in our part of the planet were generous-spirited people, because nature, the Garden of Eden, was so generous to us. And so when we start to find our true nature again, one of the first things that I'm going to teach is the incredible benefit of allowing the other plant or allowing the other animals on this planet to live to their fruition. You know, by nature, our first nature, when we see a fuzzy animal, a rabbit or something like that, we're with our children, our first nature is to grab a camera to tell our children, look at the bunny rabbit over there, look how beautiful it is. Our first nature is not to chase that rabbit down, leap on its back, bite through its throat, choke it out, and then tell our children to come over here and eat that rabbit.
Wow. That is good. That is good. Now, so we should be eating, like you said, those, you know, fruits and nuts and berries and seeds and those kinds of things. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Also, a question from the chat room is, what food would be good for those who are diabetics and those who may have things like diabetic, what else? A lot of people suffer with high blood pressure, mm-hmm. but definitely a lot of people, especially over here. I am from Cincinnati, but I live here on the East Coast in the New Jersey area, and there are it's like every other person is, I'm diabetic. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Cincinnati. I never met that many people that were diabetic, so I don't know. And a lot of people here with asthma as well, so I don't know what it is in this region here, but can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Wonderful news for those who are diabetic or those who are high blood pressure and those suffering from this long, long list, expanding list of chronic diseases, which are epidemic and getting worse. The wonderful news is that we have the information now to reverse diabetes in probably maybe 80 to 95% of cases. Diabetes can be reversed in as little as 21 days using nutrition strictly as the basis. Well, a combination of three things, really. Nutrition, fasting, and detoxing, along with good exercise. All three of those have been shown to reverse diabetes in about 21 days. There's a Dr. Gabriel Cousins, who's one of the leading authorities of the raw food diet, and he's written a wonderful book on how to reverse diabetes or cure diabetes in 21 days. The essence of it is that diabetes is an end consequence of injury to the pancreas. Either the pancreas is being injured and is not able to put out sufficient insulin to cause the sugar uptake on the cellular level, or the body mass is so large that the pancreas is producing enough insulin, but there's too much body mass, and as a consequence of too much body mass, when you obesity, overweight, then the insulin cannot be enough for all of the places that it's needed, and so on the cellular level, we don't get this insulin or sugar uptake, or what's called glucose uptake on a cellular level, which the insulin a hormone regulates. So because I am not a doctor, I don't diagnose, and I don't make any pretenses to be a doctor, if I were in a situation where I were diagnosed with diabetes, I would immediately go on a 100% raw food routine for a minimum of 30 days. I would eat a cornucopia, an abundance of different foods every day. In fact, this is the way that I eat all of the time. So I'm on a permanent disease prevention diet. But I would eat a lot of raw vegetables, fresh vegetables, organic. I would take certain sets of supplements that many of us are missing, such as potassium supplementation, vitamin B6 or whatever. There are a number of different supplements that one could take in that situation. And I would just eat this raw food diet. I would get my exercise routine on track, get lots of fresh air, lots of good purified water. But I am absolutely convinced, and there is a film out that I would highly recommend to people called Simply Raw, the 30-Day Diabetes Raw Food Challenge. I would recommend people watch that film. In fact, I watched that film about 6 times or so on my conversion to go from being a vegetarian for 30 years, a vegan for about 16 of those 30 years. 1 year ago, almost to the week, I converted to 100% or about 98% raw food diet, and it's just been the last of a long set of miracles that I've experienced in my own life. It's the healthiest diet known to humankind.
Wow. So when you say raw foods, so raw vegetables and things of that nature?
Yeah. You know, if we look at the recommendations from the Food and Drug Administration or U.S. Department of Agriculture, you know, we grew up with this thing called the food pyramid with recommendations on how to eat to be healthy. Later to find out that the food pyramid was way off because it had been sponsored by the meat and dairy industry, and they put their products as the primary food we should be eating, when in actuality the latest recommendations all say to eat the minimal amounts of meat and dairy every day. But if we look at their recommendations, there are different recommendations they have, one of which is to eat 5 to 9 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables every day to be healthy. But then looking even closer into USDA recommendations, they said that the optimal diet for disease prevention would be to actually eat 13 different fruits and vegetables every day and a minimal amount of meat. Well, we know that the minimum amount of meat that one can eat is none at all. So in the way that I have developed my program, which is called Living Superfood, I have a website by the same name, livingsuperfood.com. My program deals with what I call full-spectrum hypernutrition. And in hyper, meaning too much of or fast speed and abundance of, with hypernutrition, full-spectrum, on most days, I attempt to eat anywhere between 40 and as many as 140, I've counted, as many as 140 different ingredients that I will eat every day. See, I combine these ingredients in making exotic foods. I will make things like a meatloaf, or I can make mashed potatoes and gravy, or I can make mock chicken and mock tuna, and even recently I invented a mock chicken nugget. I didn't say McNugget, mock chicken nugget. But when I combine and I make these products, which are gourmet foods when I make them, I will sometimes use from 10 to maybe 20 distinctly different ingredients will go into the manufacturing, a number of which are culinary herbs. And culinary herbs almost all have very strong medicinal capabilities. And I also consume a lot of superfoods. Superfoods are those foods that are classified that have the greatest density of nutrients in the particular foods. Yesterday I invented another dish, and it turned out to be a big hit. And I had to go to a party, and I knew there were going to be a bunch of natural health people there. So, and then someone called me, and they said, well, you got like 10 minutes to leave your house. And I had just come out of my garden, so I was kind of grubby. So I threw into a bowl, I had a papaya in the refrigerator, so I cut up the papaya. It's a superfood. The single fruit known to have the densest concentration of nutrients is the papaya. But into that bowl, I also threw some coconut flakes, and I know coconut flakes are a superfood also, very good source of high-density or saturated fats, but the good fats and high-density lipoproteins and other critical nutrients from that coconut. Also threw into it some black sesame seeds, which would look beautiful contrasted against the orange flesh of that papaya. But black sesame seeds, also a superfood, a good source of for non-meaters of critical essential amino acids. along with L-tryptophan, from which our body, our brain synthesizes three critical necessary chemicals, brain chemicals. And I also threw some lemon juice in there, which is another superfood. And I threw a little bit of sea salt in that dish to just kind of put some punch on the other side of that lemon along with that papaya. So in the bowl, I threw the papaya, some coconut, some lemon, some black sesame seeds, and some sea salt. In 5 minutes, I created an incredibly dense nutritional dish that tasted absolutely gourmet also. So that's the way I eat. I eat gourmet foods that are combined to give myself on a daily basis full spectrum hypernutrition, most days consuming at least 80 different substances.
Wow, that is so... Now, why do you think it is that, I mean, people, I mean, we have all of these discussions, you know, we have the things like, you know, the Weight Watchers and the Nutrisystems and the this and this and that, and we have the all these different, you know, gyms and what have you and all these different things people do to try to lose weight or try to eat healthy, and yet we still see people getting sicker and sicker. More and more people are, like I said, coming up with sugar diabetes, losing various limbs in their bodies, and then actually, you know, dying, and all of the people, you know, dying of cancer and what have you. And, you know, and other diseases. I mean, we could even talk for a minute. I'm sure you have some suggestions on what people could do to eat to help to alleviate arthritis, because you see a lot of people dealing with arthritis with their joints becoming so painful they can no longer move them. So we'll talk about that in a second. But why do you think it is that we Americans anyway find it so hard to break the habit of eating the McDonald's, the Popeyes, to Red Lobster, going to Apple. I'm just naming all the places I go, y'all. I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm just listening for Tiffany's, you know, all of these places. Now, it's not like I'm going there asking for the healthy diet menu. I'm going there eating this stuff. But anyway, so talk about why is that? What help me? If you don't, we want everyone to get help, but some people don't like to admit that they it's an issue. Well, I want to live long, and I want to live healthy, so...
One of the key chapters in the book that I'm writing on this will actually be my 24th book that I will be publishing, the book entitled Living Superfood. One of the key chapters of this deals with the hierarchy of eating patterns, much of which are cultural, much of which are habitual. One of the things that we have to take into account that the way that we eat is somebody's profit margin. So you have vested industries, industries that are vested in us eating a certain way. Pretty much most of us know, it doesn't take much research to understand that sodas are just really not good at all for our health. High fructose syrup, corn syrup, fruit drinks are just not at all good for us. But, you know, we habitually do these things. So we can approach this different ways. For one, I am not going to be anybody's profit margin that's harvesting unhealthy eating habits. I'm just not going to be part of their profit margin. So I'm in a state of rebellion against these industries profiting off of keeping and making a large number of people sick. But if we look at this hierarchy, this is a very important way of looking at it. There's a hierarchy. Just as we have certain type of castes in the society based upon wealth, based upon gender, education level, race and ethnicity, certain caste system, there's also a caste of how people eat. And this goes across all ethnicities and genders. People can eat along this caste system. For most people, the standard American diet is kind of there in the middle. But below the standard American diet, the worst are the junk food eaters. Above the junk food eaters are the fast food eaters. Above the fast food eaters is the standard American diet, the acronym for which is SAD. And if we look at the consequences of eating the standard American diet throughout all of our lives, it is sad to see so many good people now in that long queue of heart disease and cancer and diabetes and immune system malfunctions and autoimmune disorders like lupus and arthritis, you'd mentioned, asthma and allergies and just this long, long list, kidney failure, these things, these epidemics of chronic diseases. That is the consequence of the general diet in this country, the sad diet. Then there is above that now, when we're starting to get into people who are now modifying the way they eat to enjoy the health benefits or spiritual benefits, above that is what I call the modified sad diet. And that's when people say, well, I'm not going to eat pork, or I refuse to eat a certain food for whatever reason, be it health or be it spiritual or just be it intelligence. I refuse to drink soda, but then they'll do all the other things that are the sad diet. Then above that, we start getting into those areas of people who used to be called nuts, but now the science is on our side, and the first step of which is to become a vegetarian. Many people do vegetarian for a number of years, and they talk about, oh, I enjoyed it, but then I quit being a vegetarian. I went back. Well, I used to be a vegetarian, and I found a point where I was unsatisfied, but rather than go back, I explored, was there another level above that? And above vegetarian, we now found vegan, people who don't consume any type of animal products whatsoever, no eggs, no milk, no cheese. I even quit using mayonnaise because it had eggs in it. And so the vegans also will avoid highly processed food. Then I become unsatisfied with vegans. I looked around. There were too many unhealthy and too vegetarians and vegans that I was witnessing. So I said, there has to be something above this. So then I combined three new things, which I think are above the status of vegan, which give me what I call this living superfood lifestyle. Those three elements are regular fasting and detoxing. I do it every quarter season, the first day of spring, first day of summer, first day of fall, first day of winter. I go on a 28-day cycle fast. So in rhythm with the sun, the quarters of the season, in rhythm with the moon, the 28-day cycle, I do a regular detox cleansing fast, which I now have segmented into five different sections to thoroughly get the toxins out of my body every 90 days and really kind of renew my whole life potential. So I combine three new things that I say are above vegan. One is regular fasting and detoxing. Number two is raw food, living food, everything that I eat. I attempt to eat 100% food that is alive, even if it's been dehydrated, just like seeds that have been dehydrated. It's still alive. The life potential is there, waiting to be activated by enzymes. And then number three, I combined superfoods, seeking out and incorporating regularly into my routine. I keep them in the kitchen, superfoods, known to have the densest concentration of foods that we can get. Foods like goji berries, like raw chocolate, the real chocolate that hasn't been adulterated with the milk and the sugar. Things like coconut products and bee products like bee pollen and bee propolis royal jelly and honey. Superfoods like the seaweeds and spirulina and different types of things that have these dense concentrations. Kale is another superfood. We could talk about different oils such as flaxseed oil and hemp seed oil. In fact, all hemp products are superfoods. So we eat these superfoods, we do the regular fasting and detoxing, eating the food raw. These in combination are proven, and the medical studies are out there, countless studies to prove it, that this is the dietary pattern that is known to reverse or prevent nearly all of the chronic diseases. 95% of chronic diseases that we're witnessing are directly related to nutrition.
So you mean to tell me I ain't got arthritis because my grandma had arthritis?
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
I don't have high blood pressure because mom and them had high blood pressure.
Yeah, the idea of genetic propensity is an idea that is way overblown. In fact, that's really kind of the cutting edge of what I am studying right now. I'm really studying on a number of different fronts. One of the things I'm primarily studying is why cooking food injures the food, hurts the food's potential in our bodies, and what our body does to prove that. But another thing I'm studying is a field called epigenetics or above genetics, We've been taught since the early 1950s that DNA controls, that our genes control our destiny. That's not right. I always suspected there was something wrong with a lot of these news and medicine pronouncements about genes, because I used to work in the field of reproductive biology. So, you know, genes and DNA was always an area that I was fascinated by and would look real closely. But I was always concerned because I felt that they were really overstating their case, just as other fields of science have done. They used to be the blood letters overstated their case. And then the bacteriologists and others overstated their case. And the gene people are overstating their case. It's not that your grandmama or your mama or whomever had diabetes or arthritis or cancer or whatever. It is the environment. It's all about the environment. And the environment is the thing that we study to learn to control. As we learn to control the microbiological environment, we then learn to prevent these chronic diseases. Or if you've already been diagnosed, by controlling the microbiological environment, we can then begin to reverse these chronic diseases by resetting the body's systems. And the diet that resets the body's systems is the same diet that prevents virtually the whole spectrum of these disorders. You had mentioned about arthritis, very important. Arthritis is an inconsequence of really two factors: the calcification of our body systems, and essentially, once our body's systems begin to calcify, that is evidence of the deterioration process that eventually leads to death. So calcium can build up in our pancreas, it can build up in our different glandular systems and our different body parts, and that's a deterioration process. And it also is an end consequence of not getting enough of the good cholesterol. See, we've been taught by these Weight Watchers and these other calorie counters and all this disinformation that they put out that cholesterol is not good for us. Actually, cholesterol is absolutely essential to the life process. But most of us are eating too much of the wrong kind of cholesterol, the low-density cholesterol, or LDL. We should be eating the high-density cholesterol or high-density lipoprotein, which is a different way of saying cholesterol, HDL. And so once we start to understand the difference in a response of our bodies between eating the low cholesterol, which we get from meats and from fats, from dairy and cheese and sources like that, and start to eat the high-density cholesterol, high-density lipoprotein that we get from fats like olive oil, even better is flaxseed oil, even better is hemp seed oil. We can get it from avocados and other fat-rich products such as coconuts. Coconut oil is a wonderful saturated fat. We've been told saturated fats are bad for you. No, it's one of the highest, if not the highest oils on the spectrum is coconut oil. And that is a saturated fat, but it's a high-density lipoprotein. By consuming high degrees of the good fats, we then start to re-lubricate the joints, and we start to rebuild those fatty parts of our body, such as our joints, where it's critically necessary, as well as we go on a routine that helps our bodies to do a better job of calcium uptake, so that the calcium that we do consume, and we're consuming too much calcium of the wrong sort in this standard American diet, but that the calcium that we do consume doesn't just linger around in our bodies and build up, causing kidney stones and discombobulated joints and these type of things and calcified organs. So, you know, this wonderful knowledge that we have about the food, I think it's just fascinating, which is why I study it every day, much of which I'm now putting up on my livingsuperfood.com website.
Wow, this is just totally so good. Just one quick question. I was wondering, why do you think, okay, so here we have, you know, I'm just thinking about various people. So we have all of this information, and we definitely want to get your website, the place where we could go get your book, and all of that information. We need to get that. We need this book. All right. I feel healthier just sitting here talking to you, but I know just listening to it is going to be enough. I know I have to internalize this, and I know how important it is. And my mother did have breast cancer, and she had one breast removed, and then 6 months, not even 6 months later, 3 months later, she died of a massive heart attack. So we, this was in 2005, so it's not been that long ago. And then, so again, people who have all of these issues that, you know, could be solved just if we could change our mindsets, because like you said, being a creature of habits and being somewhat gotten into a routine, because I've seen people who take a brand new baby that doesn't know anything about anything other than, like, you know, and there's a brand new baby, and boom, right there, from the time they're, like, little, like a couple of weeks old and then a few months old, giving them all of these foods that are so unhealthy when they have a time to do a fresh start. So, you know, I just think that is so interesting how that can happen. And what is that about? Just a natural reflex? Is that just reflexes?
Well, you know, we have unfortunately perpetuated too many bad lifestyles and made them common. For one, creation designed the perfect baby food, mother's milk. Creation did not instruct us as humans to go find other animal species and feed our babies their milk. You know, and of all of the species we feed, the cow, I mean, that cow is unfortunately maybe the worst choice. If you're going to feed your baby milk, why not tiger milk or lion milk, you know? Of course, the lion or the tiger would have an argument with us about taking the milk away from their babies and redirecting it to our own. And we don't see lions and tigers who are stronger than us seeking and hunting down lactating women so that the lions and tigers can capture that woman and feed their woman's milk to their babies. And so we have to understand we got to get back in rhythm with nature. And so feeding our babies anything other than mother's milk for the first 6 months of their life is unfortunately a very poor decision, which starts many of us off on the wrong course. Another thing that I highly recommend people do is change your habits. So much of our eating habits are linked to emotions. You talk about your grandmother, your mother, and when we think about those foods that grandmother and mother made for us, they had so much love in them, and we were young and carefree, and we witnessed our grandmother, our mother in the kitchen where the love was just in such abundance. And so it naturally would follow that we would have these emotional bonds to the foods that our mothers and our grandmothers made. But we can also utilize these emotions. I utilize the emotions to drive myself to try five or six new foods every week, to go into different markets. I go into Spanish markets and Asian markets and Middle Eastern markets and African markets, and I'm always looking for new foods. Just ask the person behind the counter, I want to try something new today. I want it to be healthy, and I want it to be delicious. I want it to be gourmet. Turn me on to something. And you'll be amazed how happy they are to have you in their store with that attitude. And so, you know, we try new foods, we do the research and study to find out which foods are healthy and why. Why is this food healthy for me? You know, that's the other part about it, not just knowing that the food is good for you. Why is it healthy? I want to understand the mechanics of this body. So doing all of that, we've come to this wonderful golden pathway to our health, our abundance, our vitality. You know something? I'm not a millionaire, but I deliberately choose to eat like a millionaire. In fact, I eat better than billionaires eat, and I'm proud of that.
Wow. Wow, and so you do. So we got a lot out of that. And now also there the exercise that goes along with that. Can you talk about that for a minute? And I so thank you for your time that I've actually extended the show just a few more minutes, so I really wanted to capture all that you have, and I still haven't even asked you about this conscious report that you've put out. So we talk about exercise for a minute. Share with us about this whole conscious report. Definitely give, because again, a lot of people are going to go back and listen to the archives on this, but so people can, you know, get and benefit from your website and benefit from where we can go get the book for livingsuperfood.com,
yeah, the website, about exercise. Exercise, yeah, is so wonderful. Yeah. You know, there's so many different ways that we can exercise, but we have to recognize that in our grandparents' age, they didn't have all these health clubs, all these machines, and, you know, I kind of call them sweat factories. I tried them about 20 years ago. I tried one of these sweat factories, and it just didn't work for me. For one, working that hard in an indoor environment, I definitely noticed I don't like the air that I'm breathing so hard. And I think they've done a lot in recent decades to upgrade the quality of air conditioning that they have in these sweat factories, you know, or these health clubs, fitness clubs, I'm sorry. But for me, exercise is far more fundamental. For one, the way that I move in all of my life is a part of exercise. You know, I've just turned 55 years young. Now, I'm planning to live to be 120, so I consider myself still young and on the upside of life. But I noticed that around my house, I do a whole lot of things that a lot of people my age don't do. I'll climb up around a table and reach around something in an awkward position, or sometimes do some things, recognizing I'm really challenging my body. When I go to the store, quite often, especially when I'm in my fasting period, I'll deliberately park on the far end of the parking lot and do this thing I call the warrior walk. You can see me walking across the parking lot, and you're going to say that person's either really in a hurry or they're very deliberate about where they're going through life. And I do this warrior walk. It's just kind of a celebration of the life springing from my muscles, of the oxygen that's filling my lungs, and a celebration that I have this attitude that I am the master of environment. And also, I am a firm believer in our work should be exercise. And so every day I get in my garden. I work in my organic vegetable garden every day. And that's a very good set of exercise for me. In fact, I noticed that this year when I go to do the heavy work for my garden, I actually gained about 4 or 5 pounds that week because of the heavy work that I was doing. And when I was finished that heavy work, that 4 or 5 pounds just drifted right away. It's amazing how the body can regulate its own need for weight. I picked up that weight when I was turning over all that soil, and then the weight slipped away when I didn't need to do that anymore. So exercise can be done a myriad of ways. I like exercises that work with natural gravity rather than getting a bunch of weights and machines and stuff. Just some hand weights or push-ups or knee bends or these type of things where we're just using natural gravity to get our exercise in. But exercise is also a very good way, and we should always consider when we're doing exercise, of hyperoxygenating the blood. When the blood is oxygen-rich, it is in its maximum healing modality. So that's one of the primary reasons we should be exercising, is hyperoxygenating the blood. But we have to be very careful getting our cardio work done indoors or in highly polluted environments. That is absolutely contradictory to our best self-interest. And then you had mentioned about the books. You know, I wrote and published so many of the books. I'm actually writing one and doing the research for my next book now. But I found that a lot of people weren't reading at the level that I was writing and at the rate that I was releasing these books. So I started putting a lot of my work now on DVDs and CDs. And I have a catalog, believe it or not. You talk about how many books I have. I have a catalog now approaching 3,000 titles of CDs and DVDs. I think there's maybe 180 or so, 190 DVDs themselves that I put out, giving us instructions on how to beat these diseases and doing the micro research on many of these things, including a set of 19 DVDs now, or actually 19 sessions that I've videoed, and I think 16 of the DVDs are now on the market, of what I call the Living Superfood Prep Classes, where I show you how to make these wonderful healing dishes. We have about 100 different dishes on these different CDs now that we're showing people how to do it. It's fun. All of the food that I eat is gourmet. In fact, I am just, that's one of my rules. I'm a gourmet food eater, so I don't mess around with nasty food. Every now and then I'll experiment and come up with something that's just kind of nasty, but I know it's so healthy I'll eat it anyways. But I prefer to eat the delicious gourmet food. That's one of the things people don't imagine about the living superfood, that it tastes so good. So yesterday I went out and I took some foods out and I shared with some people who didn't know about it. I took some kale crisps, which are dehydrated kale coated with a special seasoning mix that I do. People take one taste of the kale crisps, they're instantly addicted. And it's unlike potato chips, where if you eat the whole bag, you feel guilty afterwards. You cannot overdose on eating raw, fresh kale. I took out another one, which is one of my big treats that people love. It's called Untuna, which is a mock tuna salad made with no tuna fish and oil in it. And I also had some cauliflower popcorn that I make. It's popcorn made in the dehydrator using cauliflower as the base, which really doesn't have much of a flavor on its own. So I spice it up, I season it up with a set of seasonings that fight cancer. So literally, in eating the cauliflower popcorn, you're also preventing cancer in the process. And so this is what we do.
Wow.
We make gourmet foods out of the foods that heal. It's a pretty amazing thing, isn't it?
And it's powerful. And what is the Conscious Roster Report, what is that about?
Yeah, well, that was the book. That was the research report that I wrote. I was writing these articles, and I began writing in earnest. I actually began writing because I used to write in the entertainment field back in the 1970s for various publications, and I started writing again after the 1992 riot rebellion here in Los Angeles on social and cultural issues. But then, because I had such a strong interest in the biological sciences, I've been writing quite a bit over the years on the biological sciences. And so I wrote 18 of these Conscious Roster reports. There were a number of other books that I've written. I've written 3 books on the subject of HIV and /AIDS. And I'm very, very firmly convinced that this is one of the biggest frauds ever perpetuated on humankind. And if there's somebody out there is carrying around this diagnosis of quote-unquote HIV positive, using the living superfood routine, you can reverse this condition in anywhere from 30 to 60 days if the condition has manifested itself in some sort of disease resulting in these opportunistic infections. That can be reversed in 30 to 90 days. And I even contend that using the living superfood routine, you can probably, if you believe in the HIV test, which I don't believe in them, but if you do believe in it, follow this routine for 90 days and go back and get tested again. You're going to amaze the people. I think you will test HIV negative the next time, because what you really tested positive for the first time was just an overabundance of white blood cells circulating freely in the blood. That's fairly easy to address.
Now, you've opened up, you're talking about an entire can of worms here, because I think they're a whole one snake, can of snakes, forget worms.
Mm-hmm.
But now, with HIV, okay, you have this virus, wait a minute. Now, they put some people who are diagnosed to have HIV, this is all before they even get AIDS. They said they have HIV, they have so-called viral load that's so high, and whether the red blood cells are real low at that point, I think. Is it the red blood cells or the white?
Well, no, not the red blood cells. Oh, boy, I'm leery to even go in. I've written three books on this. I have created over 125 hours of broadcast on this subject, interviewing some of the leading authorities in the world. But just to summarize
quick question.
I'm not convinced that HIV exists. AIDS has existed long before HIV was even thought of, and the leading cause of AIDS in history is malnutrition. So that's a quick summary. But if it came down to it, there are about 20 areas of this HIV-AIDS hypotheses that are out here that I debunk about 20 separate areas of it.
Wow. Oh, my God. You know what? Okay, all right. So we got it. So let's see. I know you have the one website, Kidi, K as in kite, E as in Eddie, I as in Isaac, D as in David, I as in Isaac .biz. Yes, that's one website they can go to connect with you. Also, they can go to livingsuperfoods.com.
Yeah, Living Superfood, there's no S, livingsuperfood.com.
Okay.
And also, if people want to hear my broadcast, I do broadcast regularly on a number of different channels, most of which can be linked through at libradio.com. That stands for Living in Black, libradio.com. We do have libtv.com, and livinginblack.com is our own Facebook, our own social network, by us, with us, for us. And it's one of the most progressive places I like to hang out every day.
Okay, so every day they can listen to your live broadcast, right?
Mm-hmm, at libradio.com. In fact, I'm going to be going on live. I'm on the West Coast, so right now it's about a little after 5 in the morning, so I'm going back to bed when I finish talking to you.
Okay,
but I'll be going live today about 10 or 11 a.m. Eastern time. Every weekday they'll be able to tune into us. And I'm going to talk about some of the very same subjects that we've covered in this conversation. Yesterday, I did 3 hours of broadcast. I dedicated one whole hour in yesterday's broadcast to an understanding of vitamin D, which is actually not a vitamin, it's a hormone. The greatest source we get from vitamin D is from the sun, but most of us don't get into the sun now, and we're vitamin D deficient. And it's causing all of these disorders in the body because we just don't get our 15 minutes minimum of direct sunshine every day.
Mm. Well, we definitely, I know there's a couple that comes on Christian television on a regular basis that are really, really pushing. I don't know if you know Pastor Paula White and one of her co-hosts. They are on almost every day talking about the seriousness of the vitamin D deficiency problem.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're aware of that, but they're
I salute and I applaud them for this mission. It's very, very critical. How did we get black in the first place? Because we soaked up the rays of that benevolent friend up in the sky, the sun. It gives life to every species on this planet. You know, many of our women now, drawn into the workforce, have to spend their entire day in the confines of an indoor environment under fluorescent lights, and we're seeing the impact of vitamin D deficiency in a lot of black women. We're seeing it in the children, and it's one of the reasons why we're so susceptible to the so-called flu season. It coincides with the vitamin D deficiency season.
Hmm. So we need to definitely learn all we can about how to get this vitamin D up to the efficient level so that we can be healthy. Well, you have been a sheer blessing. I am going to let you go and get some more rest now. It has been a pleasure meeting you, reading your bio. I still cannot believe how old you said you are with all that you've done. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that, Mr. Keady, because, you know, 10 years in the record industry and 12 years over in the, you know, scientific, you know, research industry, and you said over 3,000 recorded sessions? Or did you say 30,000? I don't know.
About 3,000, yeah. We've been busy. I've been doing the broadcast for 8 years now and collecting a lot of other resources in addition to it. And, you know, it's about knowledge. It's about wisdom. It's about the intelligence of an entire generation built upon the intelligence of all the previous generations. We should understand we're in a prime position to be the wisest people that have ever existed on the face of the earth. Well, now we better start acting like it.
Wow, that is powerful. And you've raised 4 daughters, which are all academic.
Yeah.
You said they are serious about academics.
Yeah.
I can't
actually, three daughters and 1 niece. I claim them all.
Okay, that's wonderful. Now, is your twin brother, I just need to ask this, is he anything like you?
Yeah, he's a very highly accomplished individual. He's just retiring from years as a top administrator for a major corporation in the field of space technology. So, yeah, he's a pretty serious cat. Yeah, I really love him. He's a good brother.
He's got to be. Oh, my God. Well, if you were listening to the show today, you were listening to this awesome, awesome discussion and interview with Mr. Kidi Obi Awadu.
Mm-hmm.
He's also on the web. You can get to know much more about him through his broadcast. He is a broadcast journalist, a musician. He's an author, a lecturer, and a community organizer. Wow, and he is the author of the Conscious Roster Report. You heard it right here on the Coastal Lisa Show. Go to his website, www.livingsuperfood.com. We're going to purchase your books. We're going to start our own project right here on the East Coast. We're going to be talking about this more. We would love to have you back at some point in time as the seasons change. You know, we're getting ready to go into spring. This is a great time to get on that fast, to do that detoxing. You know, maybe we'll have you on, you know, just to,
I'd love to come through. I believe you're in metropolitan New York. I'd love to come through for a weekend. We can do some workshops and seminars, and I want to train people to deploy living superfood. One of the serious things that we need to do is to train people in these sciences and create jobs. That's one of my missions here, is I want to create as many jobs as possible with people who can take the living superfood science out, heal people, and make a good living during the whole thing.
We're going to do that. We will definitely be talking with you to set that up. You said the magic word and talking about doing workshops, because that's one of the things that I enjoy doing. But I tell you, this conversation with you today, Mr. Kidi, has really been mind-blowing for me, I'm telling you. You know, I'm just amazed at all your knowledge. I mean, so, you know, oh, wow. We got our work cut out for us. So I thank you. I'm going to be encouraging everyone to come and listen to the interview. I know many people will tune into the archives, but I'm going to be pushing that they come and they listen. This is life-changing. This is health. This is what we need to acknowledge.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit later in the day. I want to work closer with you, and we're going to get those joints all back in. We're going to have you out there on that basketball court here real soon.
Please. You know what? That's so funny that you would say basketball, because I absolutely love the movie Love and Basketball.
Okay.
And just, I watch it every time it comes on TV. And just the other night it was on, and I said to myself, boy, I wish I could play basketball like that. She looks like she's just in tip-top health. So it's
there
so funny
go.
That you would
basketball. All right. We're going to do
all
that.
Right.
Thank you so much for this moment. I look forward to future conversations. And we will, to everyone who's been listening, a lifetime of health and prosperity and longevity. And I hope that you all find your critical mission of service to this generation, and you do it at the highest level you possibly can. It is a blessing. It is a divine gift for which we are so very grateful. Thank you, beloved.
Oh, thank you. All right. So that's the end of that. We had Mr. Kidi Obi Awadu on with us for a whole hour and a half, so it was even longer than our regular hour show, which I had anticipated that it would be, especially after I checked out that bio. I said there was no way we're going to fit all this into just 1 hour. We usually go over anyway, but this time I knew it would be all something that we could soak up. I love the way he broke down that, you know, like a caste system, and the way we eat ourselves and put ourselves into a caste system. And I love the way he broke that down with the people like myself at the very bottom, the junk food eaters, and then the next level. And then the next level, he said, was the fast food people. Then you have the group where they just, you know, eat just kind of standard American kind of foods and things like that. And then you have this step above that where, you know, they try to be vegans and vegetarian types, but they are not 100% there. And then he says, then there's this next level where it's this superfoods, you're eating these superfoods. And so if his own life is any example that this really works, it works 150% or 200%, because to look that healthy and to be doing all that he's doing, to have a brain working like that at maximum level, just it's just amazing. So we are definitely, we got to make a change. We got to do something different. I mean, he brought up the vitamin D deficiency, which many of you have listened to, Dr. Paula White on, her and her guests constantly talking about this. Every single day you turn on the word network, you will hear them. Also, he talked about, you know, just knowledge and education and how he taught himself to read. Before he even went to school, he taught himself French. And I just love the part where he said that he put a library, he had a library in his room growing up because his father was a chemist, a very well-known chemist. His father had, you know, a good background, a good living for his children. His brother went on to be a scientist as well, and in space technology. And he said that he tried it on his daughter. She put a library in their bedroom, not dolls, not Nintendo, not the Wii game and all this other stuff, but a library, y'all. And he said it really worked. And so I can imagine, I can just picture these kids playing with books, reading to each other, and loving books and reading and knowledge so much that then it became a habit and a way of life for them. And then he said they're all very accomplished academic persons. I mean, you know, we try to force our kids to read, but how about if we make it a part of their daily activity? So I already posted that comment on Facebook, because we want to share the knowledge, share the love with others. Then he also talked about, just recapping just from straight memory, and then he also talked about these diseases like arthritis and high blood pressure and heart disease, cancer. He broke it down to the simplest way you can understand it. That's what I love. He just, you know, he wasn't so high above us that we couldn't grasp it. He talked about this whole concept of HIV and AIDS, and I teach HIV and AIDS awareness classes for the past 2.5 years. Had to go into a two-day certification process for that. And so I know what they have taught me to make people aware of, and then listening to him is just so totally different and totally amazing. Also, what he talked about arthritis and how we are just really eating ourselves to death. I loved how he said that our food should be our medicine. And, you know, people say you are what you eat. And he talked about the importance of water, the importance of how essential it is, how powerful of a force that it is. You're absolutely right, because water can turn into a tsunami and wipe out a whole country. It could also end up being some type of a storm. And so many, many things. It can also fill up an ocean and a lake. And so water is a very powerful, powerful, powerful force. One of the first things that, you know, God created, and he made the waters and everything. And so, and then he talked about that air, wow, that breath, breathing deeply, just taking a time, oh, there's so much. I'm just like, I'm full here right now, y'all. This is like the afterglow. And also just talked about so much. So we're going to do some more recapping tomorrow, because I don't have a guest tomorrow. I'm going to be doing some more recapping tomorrow about what he has said today, because this is food that we need to eat on for our lives. And, you know, again, just looking at how healthy, you know, he is and all that he's doing, we need to listen to him. He is for this generation. He is for now. God has sent him. We are ready. So, again, we thank Mr. Keady for coming. We thank you for coming to be with us today. We appreciate your dedication to the cause. We look forward to speaking with you about setting up workshops and a conference and symposium here in New Jersey and in the New York area, Philadelphia, Delaware, right around the corner. We look forward to that. We thank all the guests who was with us, all the those who were tuned in to the show. We celebrate you again. Go check out his website, Keady. Sounds like speedy, but it is Keady, KEIDI.biz. Powerful website, lots of information there. I found it on the web also. Living Superfood, no S, superfood.com. go there, get the book, purchase the book, learn, get the other tools he has. He has a ton of videos on there and lots of other things. So that's all we have time for. It's been great. It's been real. And we'll see you back here tomorrow at the same time. And remember, you have to keep on getting up.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.